In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At 309 South Jackson Street in Montgomery, Alabama, there is a small house. It is the historic parsonage of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. Its most famous residence was Martin Luther King Jr. On January 30, 1956, this house was bombed as part of a campaign of violence and intimidation. The bombing happened toward the end of the Montgomery bus boycott. At the time it happened, Dr. King was preaching at a friend's church about 3/4 of a mile away. But his wife and firstborn child were at home, and the baby was just 2.5 months old. Recently, I was reading a book by Charles Marsh entitled The Beloved Community. And in the first chapter, Marsh tells the story of King's transformation from pastor of a prosperous black congregation to a leader in the civil rights movement. A key turning point in that story concerns the parsonage bombing. That night, King was preaching to a standing room only crowd. In his sermon, Marsh tells us, King had offered a simple and eloquent rendering of the protesters' collective soul. "We are a chain," he said. "We are linked together. And I cannot be what I ought to be unless you are what you ought to be." He might as well have called them a family. King's words echoed Jesus' prayer for his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion, that the world would see the oneness of their love. The movement community, King told them, is linked with a force greater than moral resolve, strategic goals, or sentiment. The movement is an echo, a distant but faithful repetition of the overflowing love of God. And then he found out about the bombing. And so he rushed home to find the front window of the parsonage blown in and the porch damaged, but his wife and daughter safe and sound. A crowd had begun to gather, some say it numbered in the thousands, and there was a pervasive feeling of deep anger and sadness. King had to calm people down as the police commissioner tried to address the furious crowd. He had to remind them of their commitment to nonviolence. The gospel this morning is a lesson that might cause us to stumble. The saying of Jesus here about hating father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, is among the most difficult in the entire gospel. As he does elsewhere, Jesus calls us to reconsider the place of our most passionately held commitments, as well as deep-seated parts of ourselves, in order to follow him more closely and put our whole trust in his love. But what do we make of that one ugly little word, hate? My mother taught me never to say that I hated somebody. Hate is the very opposite of the teaching and example of Jesus. And so why does he use that word here? When Jesus tells us to hate something, he is using forceful language to get our attention, because he wants us to love God even more than all those other good things and persons. Jesus expects us to love God with our whole heart and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And Jesus lived that out with his own family. Earlier in Luke, they hear about his alarming behavior, and so his mother and his brothers come looking for him. When the disciples tell Jesus that his family has come for him, he looks around at all his followers He looks at the new family that God is creating, and he says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." It's not that Jesus has no affection for his family. Quite the contrary. In the Gospels, he shows his tender love for all of them, especially for Mary. But Jesus defines family in terms of his mission from God. God sent Jesus to help us redefine who counts as our family. As he does in the parable of the Good Samaritan, so too here, Jesus wants us to expand our circle of love. Several weeks ago, I quoted to you from James Baldwin, the great African-American author, who once said that we cling to our hate in order to avoid our pain. So too, the intensity of our love for our families, the other people we care about, and their traditions can prevent us from hearing God's call. If our hatred can lead us into denial, our love can mire us in complacency. Families are a mixed bag. On the one hand, they are one of God's greatest blessings. They give us our basic sense of love, identity, and connection. They teach us often how to trust. They provide important experiences of interdependence and mutual aid, which can help us learn to follow Jesus better. But despite the many, many good things they often provide, our families can also wound us, saddle us with impossible expectations, and inflict various forms of violence and shame. Often our families are where we learn our most sinful attitudes and behaviors, as well as our virtues. Our families are part of the all too human reality that Jesus came to embrace and transform from within. Our families and other close relationships can be blessings. They can also show us the cross. So too can our society at large. Any human community can. Our neighborhoods, our workplaces, schools, this town, this state, this country, even the church. No matter how important, all human relationships are lived out under the sign of the cross. On that day in 1956, thank God, Dr. King came home to his wife and daughter alive. Just 12 years later, though, a gunman's bullet would take his life. King was not yet 40 years old when he was murdered, and he left a wife and four children behind. In the words of a famous prayer, the Christian life is about accepting the things we cannot change and receiving the power to change those things we can. In our baptism, we renounce Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God. At the same time, we renounce the evil powers of this world, which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God, and all those sinful desires that draw us from the love of God. And then we turn to Jesus. We turn to him and accept him as our Savior. We put our whole trust in his grace and love, and we commit to follow him and obey him as our Lord. For we are born into a world of sin, where from the beginning our own bad choices and the structures and relationships that surround us draft us into the army of death. Following Jesus means turning the other way. It means joining him under the battle flag of the cross. It can be painful. It may cost us everything. And so he says to us this morning, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Neither our biology, nor our family history, nor any of the other commitments we have, no matter how sacred they can be, None of those things can hold us back when we decide to follow Jesus. For on the cross, Jesus has broken the power of sin and death, and he lives and reigns as our Lord. We look forward, we look outward, we look upward, following him in the way of love. We neither deny the truth of where we come from, nor ignore the power of the many other loves that we have in our lives. But we love and trust Jesus above all the others. For we have been sealed by his Holy Spirit and marked as his very own. And he has called us to be his family. Amen.